This morning we began a series on prayer. We're calling it The P's of Prayer, and we will be in this series for the next seven services, including tonight. For the next seven services, we'll be covering the topic of prayer. As you know, the topic, our theme of our year is In Everything by Prayer. And so The P's of Prayer was begun this morning, and we had an introduction into the seven P's that I want to give you. And so, Josiah, you can get that next slide for me. There you go. The bonus sermon that was this morning, a prelude to praise. And I hope that that was helpful to you. I hope that you took something from the message and realized how much more we need to praise the Lord. And I believe that is the model that Jesus gives us in praying. And tonight we're going to be in the beginning of chapter 11, talking about the model prayer. Sometimes it's referred to as the Lord's Prayer. But it starts off with, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You start off with praise. You praise the Lord. You hallow his name. You reverence his name. You magnify the name of the Lord. And when you begin prayer with praising him, you're going to get yourself in the right frame of mind. You're going to enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. You're going to get God's attention. He's going to be pleased as you start to brag upon him and magnify him for who he is and thank him for what he's done. And then as you begin to worship him by maybe reading a hymn or maybe singing a hymn, and then as you begin to magnify him by reading a psalm, as we talked about this morning, you're going to be in prime position to seek him in prayer and request, even earnestly, fervently expect him to answer the seven essentials of prayer. Now, this evening, we're going to begin that journey of learning the seven essentials of prayer. I by no means claim to be an expert on prayer. God knows I need to pray more. God knows I don't pray enough. I've grown, but I'm not there yet. But I am seeking to get there where I'm living constantly in the presence of God in prayer. But these are seven things that I personally do that I would want to share with you. And like I said this morning, I'm not trying to get you to pray like me. I'm not trying to make you follow my pattern. But I hope that I can give you some things that maybe you can take throughout these 7 weeks that will help you. However, tonight, I believe this is something that every born-again Christian should have on their prayer list. I believe tonight the first P ought to be something that every believer prays for. Please turn with me to Luke chapter number 11, the Gospel of Luke chapter number 11. Jesus was in a certain place praying, and some of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. And so Jesus begins to show them how to pray. And verse 2 down through verse number 4, we have what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. It's really a model prayer, a sample prayer that God has given, that Jesus has given us, so that we can have an outline on how to pray. And then beginning in verse number 5, he starts talking about a parable, or gives a parable about a friend who's in need, a friend who is on a journey, who has a need, and how we ought to pray for that person and help meet that need, and how God does that for us. If we ask, and if we seek, and if we knock, it shall be opened unto us. And then beginning in verse 11, just three verses, he gives another parable, and it's a parable of a father providing for his children. I want to just look at one verse, and it's verse 13. Luke 11, 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Tonight, I want to preach on this first essential of prayer, the first P, and that is praying for power. Praying for power. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for the privilege it is to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Lord, I stand behind this sacred desk in need of your filling. I pray once again that you would anoint me and empower me fill me with your Spirit that I may preach what thus saith the Lord. Lord, may you use me somehow to encourage someone this evening. I pray that we would see our desperate need to have the Holy Spirit of God upon us. I pray, Lord, that you would give us a hunger and a thirst to be filled. Lord, we need you. We know that without you, we can do nothing. Lord, the best way I know how, I empty myself of anything that would cause me to be unfit to preach this message. Please cleanse my heart and mind of anything that would be in the way. Lord, I pray you would fill me with your Spirit. I pray that you would make me a vessel fit for the Master's use as we preach on this important subject of prayer, praying for power. Bless our time. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Some of you probably could have guessed that this would have been the first P, right? I've preached along these lines since I've been here, and I believe it's an essential. It's number one for me. It's number one on my prayer list. After I spend time praising the Lord, after I spend time bragging about Him and magnifying Him, then I begin begging and pleading for God to give me power, for Holy Spirit power. You see what it says in verse 13? How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Tonight, if you're born again, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That's a cardinal doctrine. That's in the books, as they say. You've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit lives inside you, but the Holy Spirit may not have all of you. He has a desire to have full control in your life. He has a desire to fill every aspect of your house, of your temple, of His temple, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And tonight I want to talk about the power of God and praying for the power of God. Charles Spurgeon said, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind. We are useless." And that is so true. We can do nothing in the flesh. We can do nothing without God. John 15 makes that very clear, that without Him we can do nothing. We've got to have the power of God. It's interesting to me that Jesus Christ performed miracles, preached sermons, preached the gospel, healed people, brought people back from the dead. But there's a commentary given upon how Jesus did all this work. And it's found in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. In Acts chapter 10, verse number 38, the Bible tells us how Jesus was given power. And it says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Here's Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Yes, he was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. But the commentary is that Jesus, as a man, was anointed by the Holy Ghost and given the power of God to perform good works, to go about doing good, to healing those who are oppressed of the devil. And God was with him. That shocks me. That alarms me. That makes me perk up. Because if Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, needed to be anointed with the Holy Ghost with power to work the ministry, to do the work of the ministry, to reach souls, to preach the gospel, to make an eternal difference. If Jesus Christ needed to be anointed with the Holy Ghost, how much more do I? How much more do we as sinners just saved by grace need that same power that Jesus Christ had? I want to give you four things tonight that I pray for in regards to praying for power. Every single day, without fail, I pray for the power of God. I do it in four different ways. You don't have to do it this way, but these are just four different ways I'm praying for the same thing. The first thing I pray is that I would be anointed with fresh oil. The first thing I pray is that God would anoint me with fresh oil. Psalm 89, verse 20 says this, "I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him." David was anointed so that he could perform a function, so that he could perform a service, so that he could meet his responsibilities as the king. All of us have a service. All of us have a work to do for the Lord. All of us have a responsibility to live for God and be the servant that God has called us to be. And we will not do it without the anointing of God upon our lives. We've got to go to God and beg for power. We've got to go to God and beg for fresh anointing, to be anointed with fresh oil. It says again in Psalm 92, verse number 10, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." A second time. So this anointing is not a one-time, give me and a done deal. This is a constant, persistent beseeching God for His power, for His Spirit to rest upon Him. Oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit of God. And symbolically, I pray, God, I pray that You would anoint me with fresh oil. Anoint me with the Holy Spirit of God. Give me power and authority to accomplish a task. That's what the anointing is for. It's so that you can accomplish what God has called you to do, so that you have the power and authority of God upon your life. A second way I will pray for power is by asking God to baptize me in the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Luke 3, verse 16, John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So I pray, number one, that I'd be anointed with fresh oil. Number two, I pray that I'd be baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, what do I mean by that? I do not mean that I pray that God would give me some supernatural ability to speak in a heavenly language. That's not what I pray for. I do not pray that God would give me some ability to speak in gibberish. That's not what I'm talking about when I talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The word baptism simply means to be immersed or to be submerged. So symbolically, when I'm praying and asking God to baptize me in the Holy Ghost and with fire, I'm asking God to submerge me in the Holy Ghost's presence, the Holy Ghost's power. When you're submerged and you come up out of that, there's no dry part. You're totally wet. The Holy Spirit is also pictured by water in the Word of God. And I want to be dunked in the Holy Spirit. I want to be submerged in the Holy Spirit. I want to be dripping wet of the Holy Spirit of God in my life. I realize that without Him I can do nothing. I realize how weak and frail I am. I realize that no eternal work can be done in the flesh. It's got to be done in the power of the Spirit of God. So I pray that God would baptize me in the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now listen, I'm not trying to limit God tonight. I believe God could still do it if He wants to. I believe God could give me the supernatural ability to speak in Polish. He hasn't done it yet, Brother Dave, but it's possible, okay? I believe God is still capable of doing that. But that's not what I'm praying for. That's not what I'm seeking. I'm just seeking to be submerged and to be immersed and consumed by the Holy Spirit of God. Because notice the next word there. At the end of it says, "baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire." Fire is a consuming thing. So not only do I want to be submersed and completely saturated by the Holy Spirit of God, I want to be baptized in Him and completely saturated in His presence and in His power. But I also want to be consumed. I want to be consumed. I want to be on fire. I want to have a burning desire in my chest to please the Lord and to do what He would have me to do, not in my strength, not in my own intellect, not my own wisdom, but in His power and in His authority. And so I pray, God, I pray that You'd baptize me in the Holy Ghost and with fire. It means to be immersed into and to be consumed by. And God said that if we will seek His power, He will give it. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We've got to have the power of God. so that we can be a witness for Him. We've got to have the power of God so that we can be a soul winner and lead people to Christ. We've got to be submersed, immersed, saturated by the Holy Spirit of God and consumed by that living fire so that we can make an eternal difference. You know, whatever fire touches, it makes a difference. If you're not close enough to it, it'll still affect you. You'll begin to smell like it. But if it gets close enough to you, it's gonna burn you. It's gonna consume. And the Holy Spirit of God will consume us. He'll be our passion. We'll be driven to fill the Great Commission. We'll be driven to do the will of God. We've got to have the power of God. The first thing that I urge you tonight to pray for on your prayer list is the power of God. The other things you can put in any other order, but I would insist tonight that you make this number one. Pray daily for the power of God. You may say, but Pastor, I'm not a preacher. Hey, God didn't say it's only for preachers. You may say, Pastor, I'm not a missionary. God didn't say it was only for missionaries. You say, Pastor, I'm not a leader in the church. God didn't say it was only for leaders in the church. It's for all of His children. If your children know how to give good gifts, if your father, if ye, them being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that asked Him? Number one, anointed with fresh oil. Number two, baptized in the Holy Ghost with fire. Number three, pour out your Spirit upon me, Lord, and fill me with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Pray for an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Pray that God will pour out His power upon you. An outpouring is a gushing that lands upon the intended target. When you come to God and you praise Him, you magnify Him, and your heart begins to be full of gratitude, and you realize how great He is, how magnificent He is, how amazing He is, and how little we are, how insufficient we are, you'll realize how much you need Him, how much you need His power, His presence, how much you need His hand at work in your life, His blessings poured out upon you, power of God being outpoured. In Isaiah 44, verse number 3, the Bible says this, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring." Are you thirsty tonight? If you're not thirsty, you won't pray for it. Are you thirsty for the power of God? I'm thirsty for the power of God. I'm thirsty. I want the power of God upon my life. I want God to anoint me with fresh oil. I want God to baptize me in the Holy Ghost with fire. I want God to pour out His Spirit upon me and fill me with the Holy Ghost. Here's why. Not that I can be somebody, but because you need me to be somebody. There's no possible way I can be the pastor that you need me to be if I don't pray for the power of God. There's no way a man can be the right under-shepherd without the equipping that comes with the Spirit of God being upon him, the power of God resting upon him. So I pray for the power of God because you need me to pray for the power of God. I pray for the power of God because this beautiful young lady over here needs me to pray for the power of God. I can't be the husband that she needs if I'm not seeking God's power, God's anointing, and God's blessing, and God's outpouring of His presence in my life. How could I possibly love her the way Christ loves the church if I don't know the power of the Spirit of God? I pray for the power of God, not for my own sake, for your sake, for my wife's sake. I pray for the power of God because there's a young man sitting back there that needs a dad who walks with God. There's a young lady in New York, still my baby girl, just turned 21, but an adult now. She needs a dad who walks with God, who prays for her and prays for the power of God and prays for God's special touch. But not only do you need it, not only does my wife need it, my children need it, but my neighbor needs it. And when I say my neighbor, I'm not just necessarily talking about the person that lives right next door to me, because right now nobody lives next door to me. The house is for sale. But I'm talking about my neighbor, the people I meet on the street, the people we go out knocking on doors to try to witness to. They need a spirit-filled soul winner. They need a witness that has the power of God. That's why we ought to be praying for the Spirit of God's power upon us. Every circle of responsibility that you have, you need the power of God to fulfill that responsibility. Whether it be a preacher, whether it be a parent, a spouse, a good Christian worker at your job, a good neighbor in your community, or just a witness for Christ, you've got to have the power of God. Andrew Murray said, "Just as water ever seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God finds you abased and empty, His glory and power flow in." God is looking for a servant tonight. God is looking for a man tonight. He's looking for a woman tonight that will just fall to their knees and say, "Lord, I'm helpless. Lord, I need help. I'm in need. I am poor and needy." God will fill that humble servant that comes to Him thirsty to be filled, seeking His power, seeking His anointing, seeking His filling to fill each part of your life. We're not supposed to have closets or rooms in our heart that are locked off to the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us that our body is like a temple. It tells us in Corinthians that our body is like God's building. And if your heart tonight is like a house with 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, several closets, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to have access to every single room, even the attic up here. He wants to have control of our thought life. That's why the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 10:5, to bring every thought into captivity, every imagination into captivity to the obedience of Christ. He wants to have control of our not only our hearts, but our thinking. And that will only happen if we humble ourselves, admit that we're needy, that we're empty, that we need to be filled. Lastly, number 4, an endowment of power from on high. I pray all of these things. It's all about praying for the power of God, but there are just 4 different ways I pray for the same thing. In Luke 24, verse number 49, the Bible says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high." The word endued means to be clothed with. I wouldn't dare walk out of my house without clothing myself. God says to us, why would you dare go out into this world without clothing yourself with the power of God? Why would you try to fight this spiritual war without the power of God? How could you think that you could do any great thing for God without His anointing and His power? How could we think that we could make an eternal difference without God's help? We've got to have an endowment of power from on high. Andrew Murray also said this, "Do not strive in your own strength, but cast yourself at the feet of the Lord Jesus and wait upon Him in sure confidence that He is with you and works in you. Strive in prayer. Let faith fill your heart so you'll be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." We've got to realize that without Him, we're nothing. And if we would hunger and thirst to be filled tonight, He would fill us. He wants to. He's not trying to hide it from us. He's not a respecter of persons. You come to Him, repent of any unconfessed sin in your life, and get whatever is between you and the Savior settled, then there's no reason that God would withhold His power from me. Oh, I don't know about you, but I need God's power. I'm glad God made me the way He did. I'm an introvert. I'm not a people person. Whenever we go somewhere, I just hope my wife does most of the talking because I just want to sit there. But I don't have the greatest people skills. I don't have the greatest oratory skills. I'm thankful God made me the way He made me because I know Bill Erickson, and I know how much he needs the Spirit of God. I know how much he needs God's touch and God's anointing, God's power. And I'll pray. I'll get on my prayer rug and on my face and pray. I'll say, "Oh God, please, today I need your power. Lord, please anoint me with fresh oil. Baptize me in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Pour out your Spirit upon me and fill me with the Holy Ghost today. I can't be the pastor the church needs me to be. I can't be the husband that my wife needs me to be. I can't be the father Josiah or Gabby needs me to be. Lord, I can't even be the Christian that I'm supposed to be without your power. So I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would fill me, empower me. I pray that your hand would rest upon my life and ministry. For I know without you, I can do nothing. But Lord, with you, all things are possible. And I come to you tonight as a poor, needy servant who needs to be filled, who needs the power of God to live the victorious Christian life. Oh God, please give me power. Give me power. I've got to have your power. I can't do without it. It's essential. It's not an option. I need to have your power, God. Please, endue me. Endue upon me power from on high. Father, I'll give you all the praise and the glory for what you do through me, because by your power, it will be accomplished. And that's just a sample of prayer that I pray every single morning, seeking God's power. Tonight, the power of God's for everyone. Maybe you're just a housewife. You need the power of God. Yes, you need the power of God as you do the dishes, as you do the laundry, as you clean the house, as you try to be the best spouse or the best parent you can be. You've got to have the power of God. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for missionaries. It's not just for leaders in the church. It's for every single Christian. And I want to encourage you tonight, if this is not on your prayer list, to get it on there and to spend much time in prayer, praying for the power of God. It's my number one, because without it, nothing else matters. The other P's are good, and you're going to hear them over the next six services. But this one tonight, I pray that you will begin in your life praying for the power of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much for trusting us. Lord, the fact that you would even give mankind your divine power and authority is an amazing, humbling thought. Lord, you want to give us your power, but you want to make sure we use it properly. You want to give it to us so that we can accomplish your will. Lord, I pray tonight that there'd be someone in this service tonight whose mouth is dry. They're just so thirsty. I pray tonight there's someone in here that is longing to see the power of God at work in their life. Please, Lord, help us. Help us to be poor and needy, thirsty for your Spirit, and to come to you with perseverance and persistence, begging and pleading for your power. We pray that you'd bless our invitation. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.